Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to study Cornelius' salvation in Acts chapter 10. And when we examine Cornelius' salvation, I think you're going to notice some things that you may already know, but then there may be some things that you don't know that would be very helpful to you. See, Cornelius was like many religious men. He was good, but he wasn't saved. He had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. So perhaps today, studying Cornelius' salvation will help you realize your own need of Jesus Christ. Or perhaps Cornelius' salvation will help you realize a friend's need to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. Either way, it will be profitable for you. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 10 today, and we're going to study several characteristics of Cornelius' life that people oftentimes mistake for salvation. And hopefully in studying this, you know, you'll be able to examine your own heart, or you'll be able to realize that you have a friend that you thought was saved, and you need to be more careful to be sure that they are saved. In looking in Acts chapter 2, let's read the first two verses, and then we're going to dive right into the text. Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now notice these characteristics of his life. Verse 2, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God alway. Four great characteristics right there in Acts chapter 10, verse 2. First of all, we notice that Cornelius was devout, a devout man. But let me say very clearly, and don't miss this, Cornelius was devout, but he was not saved. You see, people who are serious about their religion are usually devout. They're devoted to their religion. But just because a person is devout doesn't mean that he's saved. I remember years ago there was a discussion, an interview, and I believe it was with Billy Graham. And in that interview, you know, the question came up, what about people of other religions like Muslims? And the answer was, well, if they're devoted to the religion, I believe that you will find them in heaven. But listen, people who are serious about their religion, who are devout, are not saved just because they are devout. Salvation is something that Jesus Christ did for us, not something that we do for him. And that's very important to understand. Salvation is not something that is devout on our part, something that we do to make ourselves acceptable to God. Salvation is something that Jesus Christ has already done for us that makes us acceptable to God. A devout Catholic, for instance, might go to church every Sunday, might have kept all of the sacraments, and might go to church on all special holy days, and might be faithful from time to time to say the rosary and even to do a novena. That doesn't prove that he is saved. That proves that he is devout, and there is a difference. Listen, no one was more devoted than Paul was before he was saved. Look in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. We're only going to refer to this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to come back to Acts chapter 10. Philippians chapter 3, Paul is speaking about confidence in the flesh. And he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, Paul is saying, if your devotion to whatever you do makes you think that you're saved, I have more reason to have trusted in what I was doing in my flesh than you do. I more, he says, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I accounted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul says, I am not counting on any of my devotion, any of the things about me that I might want to count on. I'm not counting on any of those for my salvation. I'm counting those loss, and I am counting on the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what Paul said. So it is important when we're studying the life of Cornelius to recognize, yes, in fact, he was a very devout man, but he wasn't saved. Why? Because devotion doesn't save you. Being devout doesn't save you. All right, here's the second thing. Cornelius was devout, but he wasn't saved. Cornelius feared God, but he wasn't saved. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. In other words, he not only was a God-fearing man, but he had others in his household that he had taught to be God-fearing. And I will say this unequivocally, the fear of God is one of the best things that prepares a person for salvation. That's right. When people fear God, they take his judgment and his word seriously. They fear God and they tremble at his word. And God needs to be taken seriously. What he said needs to be taken seriously. I believe one of the great problems with our current generation is that they have not been taught the fear of God. You don't hear anybody saying that so-and-so is a God-fearing man, but you heard it years ago. Even about religious men who weren't saved, people would say, that man is a God-fearing man. And you know what the problem is? Romans chapter 3 and verse 18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's a tragic thing. When there's no fear of God before their eyes, they are not the least bit concerned what God said, how God's going to judge, what he's already provided. They don't even care about God's understanding and explanation and provision for salvation. They don't care about it because they don't fear God. Now listen, Cornelius did fear God. Cornelius was a God-fearing man. And that's a great thing. But may I tell you something? He wasn't saved. Cornelius was a God-fearing man, but he wasn't saved. And just because you fear God doesn't mean that you are saved. It means that you fear God. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There are great things to gain by fearing God. But you got to do more than fear God to be saved. And Cornelius found that out on the day that we're reading about here, or on the few days that we're reading about here in Acts chapter 10. So he was a devout man, but he wasn't saved, and he was a God-fearing man, but he wasn't saved. I'll show you something else. In Acts chapter 10, verse 2, the Bible says, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. Cornelius gave much alms, but he wasn't saved. Giving alms to the people means that he was charitable. And some people are extremely generous with their wealth. They've made a lot, and they what do they say? Pass it forward. They make sure that people are benefited by the money that they have made, and they're very generous. And I'm going to tell you something. Generous people are truly a blessing to those that they help. However, and you need to understand this, being very charitable is not proof that you are saved. I'll say it again. Being very charitable is not proof that you are saved. You know what it proves? It proves that you are benevolent. That is, that you are not selfish to keep everything you have made for yourself, but you're going to help other people with it. And benevolence is wonderful. It really is. But benevolence is not salvation. You say, well, I don't understand that because I've done a lot of things to help other people. And the Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the second commandment. That's all right. That's absolutely true. But you've got to understand something, and this is extremely important right here at this point. Cornelius found it out, and you need to know it. Listen very carefully. You are not saved by giving. You are not saved by giving. You are saved by receiving what the Lord gave you. We have to say it again. It is too important to hit this point and move on too quickly. You are not saved by giving. You are saved by receiving what the Lord gave you. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so the gift is his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You want to have everlasting life? Then you're going to have to receive that gift that God gave you. And that gift is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Watch it. As many as received him. He's the gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's the gift. Receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see, being devoted, being God-fearing, being charitable does not make you a son of God. Receiving Jesus Christ does. Okay? To as many as received, or but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There you go. So Cornelius gave much alms, but he wasn't saved. All right, now there's something else in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, that we also need to see. Cornelius was devout, but he wasn't saved. He feared God, but he wasn't saved. He gave much alms, but he wasn't saved. And then notice this. In Acts chapter 10, verse 2, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Prayed to God always. He prayed to God always, but the Bible shows you in Acts chapter 10, he wasn't saved. Now, you know something? It is amazing how faithful some people are to pray. Devout Muslims pray five times each day. I've been in the countries where the call to prayer is on the public system. In other words, there's a loudspeaker broadcasting in a neighborhood where you can hear it. And I hear those calls to prayer when we're traveling like that. All right? Devout Muslims pray five times each day. Orthodox Jews pray three times per day. But listen carefully. Prayer is not what saves you. We have the opportunity to do personal work with people, which is a wonderful thing. I love to do personal work. That is, to preach the gospel to individuals or to families about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't get to do it as much as I want. I love to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. We have learned to be careful to emphasize when dealing with the lost that reciting a prayer is not salvation. You remember when you learned to be a soul winner? You would talk to somebody, if you are a soul winner, they said, okay, now make sure they understand that they're a sinner, make sure that there's a penalty to be paid for the sin, make sure they understand that Jesus Christ paid that penalty, make sure they understand there's going to be a judgment, make sure they understand there's a hell, but then make sure they understand that Jesus Christ is the substitute and they can receive him and be saved. And oftentimes in preaching the gospel to individuals, people will say, so do you want to be saved? And the person will say, well, yeah, I don't want to go to hell. Good, well then pray with me, and the person will lead that other person that they're trying to save in a prayer. And listen, when you are dealing with people who are used to praying, like Catholics or Muslims or others who are you know, conditioned in prayer and conditioned to recite prayers that they have been taught to pray. Listen, you got to be very careful to emphasize to them that reciting the prayer you're getting them ready to recite is not salvation. Salvation is believing in your heart. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See how that goes? So let me read it to you one more time so we get this down, because I'm not trying to split hairs or any of that kind of craziness here. Don't misunderstand me at all. See, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, well, there you go right there. Look, the confession is the salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not trying to split hairs here. Reciting a prayer doesn't save you. A person who believes in his heart will confess the Lord Jesus with his mouth, but his confession is not what saves him, it's his belief. Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, when that Philippian jailer came in and talked to Paul and Silas, he said, "What, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So that's the key, is believing. The confession is what comes forth from that. And so that's why Paul was clear to say that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I realize both of those are there, but listen, if a person simply recites the prayer, this is where we're going. If he simply recites the prayer but he doesn't believe in his heart, he's not saved. But if he's counting on that prayer that he just prayed that you taught him, like his priest had taught him to say other prayers, or his imam had taught him to say other prayers, then you're going to simply have him put his faith in what he said, not in what Jesus Christ did. That's the point. Didn't mean to belabor it so much. And Cornelius was a man who prayed, but his prayer didn't save him. Now that's what we see in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, but there's more. In Acts chapter 10, verse 22, we find two other things. In Acts chapter 10, verse 22, they said Cornelius the centurion, a just man. A just man. So, in addition to being devout, in addition to fearing God, in addition to giving much alms, in addition to praying to God always, he was a just man. Wow, this guy is a superstar as far as devotion and religion is concerned. Cornelius was just in the same sense that Paul was just before he was saved. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, which we've already read, that he was blameless as touching the righteousness that is in the law. And as a Gentile, Cornelius wouldn't have been following the law. He would have been following his conscience, which for a Gentile is the same as following the law. Look in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I'll look at verses 15 and 16. Cornelius would not have been a law-abiding Jew as a Gentile, but watch what he says here. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. When the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So he was just in the sense that by following his conscience, by what he knew of the law, all right, he was doing it. He would be blameless in the sense that Paul was blameless as touching the righteousness that is in the law. But you know something? Being just in that sense is not the same as being justified in salvation. Being just in the sense that you can look to the law and say, okay, I am doing what it says, or to your conscience and you say, I have lived in good conscience before God until this day, that's not the same thing as being justified in salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11, Paul details some sins from which some of the people in Corinth had been saved. And so he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All right, now being justified in salvation is a work of Jesus Christ, and it's a work of the Spirit of God. It's not your work. You see the difference? And that justification comes because Jesus Christ stood in your place and already died for the sins that you have committed, so that your sins have been taken away, and now you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ and have His righteousness. In other words, in order to be saved, you must receive Jesus Christ and have His righteousness. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Well, He's already paid for your sins. Now what you need to do is receive Him, and He gives you His righteousness, and your sins are taken away. Well, that's not what the Bible was saying when it says that Cornelius was a just man. He was just in the sense that he was following his conscience. He was following what he knew of the law. I mean, because he had a good report among all the nation of the Jews, so they recognized him as a good man. And that's the next thing I want to say. Cornelius was a good man, but he wasn't saved. Cornelius was a good man, but he wasn't saved. You see, Cornelius had a good report among all the nation of the Jews. And it's important to have a good report among men. It really is. If you have a good report among men, but you're not saved, you ought to thank God at least you do have a good report. That's a very valuable thing. And it makes you a better citizen. It doesn't get you to heaven, but it sure helps life down here. But listen, being a good person doesn't save you. You must be saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Listen, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, being good, I'm telling you what, it makes a great citizen out of you, and it's very important in my book and in God's book, but it doesn't save you. Cornelius was devout. Cornelius feared God. He gave much alms. He prayed to God always. He was a just man. He was a good man, but he wasn't saved. Cornelius wasn't saved until he put his faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Peter came to preach to Cornelius and to his household in Acts chapter 10, verse 25. And there's an exchange, and then finally, Peter begins to preach in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And as he's preaching, he comes down and he starts preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you read all that in the passage. And when he gets to verse 43, Peter says this to him, speaking of Jesus Christ, "Give all the prophets witness that through His name," here it is, "whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins." Whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Now notice, Cornelius didn't stop to say a prayer of salvation to, quote, invite Jesus into his heart. While, verse 44, "while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." And Peter tells you in Acts chapter 11, he recognized that when they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 17, they had the same gift of the Spirit of God that the Jews did back in Acts 2:38, and they got it by simply believing in Jesus Christ. Now what's up? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 puts it all in perspective. And that's this: you don't get saved by what you do. You get saved by what Jesus Christ has already done for you. Galatians 2:16 makes it perfectly clear that we are saved by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Galatians 2:16 in the middle says, "We might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh," you, Cornelius, or anybody else, "be justified." Listen, here's what the whole thing is. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. That's right. Being devout, fearing God, giving alms, praying, being just, being good, that won't save you. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Jesus has already done the work of salvation for us. So, we must trust Him and receive Him as our Savior. That's how Cornelius was saved. And that's how you will be saved when you trust Christ, or how you were saved when you trusted Christ. And that's it. Listen very carefully. If you are a devout, God-fearing, charitable, prayerful, just, and good person, and you are counting on these excellent qualities to save you, then you're not saved yet. But you can be. You can be saved. You can be saved right now if you will simply repent of trusting what you're doing and instead trust what Jesus Christ has already done. What Jesus Christ has already done for you is that He died, He was buried, and rose from the dead. Listen, if you'll trust what Jesus Christ has already done for you with His death, burial, and resurrection, God will save you. God will save you and give you eternal life. That's right. Don't trust what you are doing by way of good works in order to make yourself acceptable to God. Trust what Jesus Christ has already done for you with His death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, that's how you get saved. And if you are already saved and you yet know someone like Cornelius, and you've been thinking, well, they're such a good person, they must be saved. Listen, they're not. Pray and ask God to help you be like Peter so that you can preach Jesus to that person. He needs to be saved. Cornelius' salvation shows us that salvation is in Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Salvation is not in our good works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. That's what the Bible says, and that's what studying the salvation of Cornelius has taught us. So I pray for your salvation if you're lost, and for the other person's salvation if you're saved and yet you need to talk with them. And may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.